The following talk was given by Father John Hardin, July 15th through 19th, 1998, Retreat for Men. How does the Holy Spirit operate in our lives and our response?
Questions for our question and answer period this evening. And I use the verb stuff the box and write kind of big so that I can read them. Not just questions, but objections and comments that you think would be worth our while answering. Again, to repeat, a good retreat means making a good confession. Confessions will be available throughout these days and conferences with Father Brown and myself, during which you wish. You may also make your confession. Given the overall theme of our retreat, namely the Holy Spirit, in preparation for the third millennium, we now wish to ask ourselves, how does the Holy Spirit operate in our lives? And then correspondingly, how we are to respond to the Holy Spirit. So how the Holy Spirit operates in our lives, and how are we to respond to His graces in our lives. We may begin by observing that the Holy Spirit's operation in our lives is a supernatural operation. As often as we heard the expression, supernatural activity, or the adjective supernatural, we must be clear what we mean. Super, of course, in Latin means above. Natural means what belongs to our human nature. The Holy Spirit operates supernaturally first because He endows us with that supernatural life conferred on us at baptism. In the vocabulary of Saint Augustine, our lives, having a human soul, are still natural lives. But our destiny is not a merely natural destiny. Our destiny is nothing less than to behold the face of God, see Him face to face, and share in nothing less than the happiness of God Himself. Our destiny, I repeat, is supernatural, beyond the capacity of any created nature, whether angelic or human. Given this supernatural destiny or goal of our existence, we would expect God to provide us with the means of reaching that, I repeat, supernatural destiny. And that we call divine grace. Divine grace is first of all a life, a supernatural life, which, once more in Augustine's language, is the life which we share with the very life of God Himself, no less than we need a natural principle of life for our bodies, called the soul. So we need a supernatural principle of life for our souls. And that principle, PLE, of the supernatural life of our souls is the divine grace that was infused into our souls the moment we are baptized. We, please God, are all living not only a natural but a supernatural life. We have no less than two souls. That's not a figure of speech. A principle of life for the body and a principle of life for the soul. The principle of life for the body, well, we call the soul. The principle of life for the soul we call sanctifying grace. It is a share in nothing less than the life of God Himself. So much for the background. However, our focus is on the working of the Holy Spirit, not only in giving us our supernatural life, but enabling us to respond to these graces which we received when we were baptized. So we ask, how does the Holy Spirit we received at baptism influence our lives? But watch it. Influence our lives not on the level of our supernatural existence, but rather, how does the Holy Spirit influence our lives in our supernatural activity? And this is the focus of our retreat. And the Holy Spirit does so in three ways. First of all, that's the Holy Spirit, endows our souls, already animated by the life of God, which we call sanctifying grace. The Holy Spirit gives us three powers. We call them the three faculties for the soul to respond to the grace of God. And the Holy Spirit, secondly, gives us, beside the power to respond to His grace, He gives us the inclinations, call them the instincts, the urges to respond to these powers that we received when we were baptized. Thirdly, the Holy Spirit gives us the satisfaction, the joy, call it the reward, for responding to His graces, which He channels to the three powers that we receive when we are baptized. This meditation, therefore, will be a prelude to what the rest of the retreat will be all about. We'll identify, and they are numbered. We'll reflect first on the three powers that we receive from the Holy Spirit to respond to the graces we need to correspond with, to reach our heavenly destiny. And they are three: faith, hope, and charity. Here we reflect on the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, which are the seven inclinations. I repeat, instincts, prompting, urging us to use these powers of faith, hope, and charity. And then we'll reflect on the 12 fruits of the Holy Spirit. And these 12 fruits are, you might say, the Holy Spirit's response already here on earth to our correspondence with His grace. As I've said how many times, the English word fruit, you think of an apple, or a pear, or grapes. So much for the English language. But the Latin verb to enjoy is frui. We are to anticipate here in this valley of tears the satisfaction of corresponding with the grace of God as a foretaste of that eternal happiness which awaits us. First then, the three powers which the Holy Spirit confers on us the moment we are baptized. When we are baptized, we receive, first of all, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now that indwelling means more than just God's presence in our souls. God is present everywhere. As we've said so often, without God's presence in the world would not exist. We must continue exercising the same almighty loving power in sustaining us in existence as He exercised when He brought us out of nothing, zero, out of nothing into our existence. God dwells in our souls the moment we are baptized. That we call the uncreated grace of God. But then, the divine indwelling produces a life in our souls which our souls by themselves do not possess. And the principle, again PLE, the principle of that life called supernatural is sanctifying grace. Sanctifying grace is the created effect of the indwelling. I don't think I shall apologize for theologizing for a while, to get the meaning of our vocabulary. Then we'll get down to the nitty-gritty of how we are to respond. But then, having given us the divine indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that divine indwelling produces sanctifying grace. Again, in St. Augustine's language, sanctifying grace is the soul of the soul, the anima anime. What the soul provides for the body, namely its natural life, sanctifying grace provides for the soul, provides the soul with its supernatural life. And now some synonyms for that supernatural life. That supernatural life is a superhuman life. That supernatural life is a super-created life. That supernatural life, hear it, is a humanly impossible life. Over the years of teaching theology, I've told my students a perfect definition of grace. Grace is that which enables us to do the humanly impossible. Not to know that is not know the ABCs of Christianity. With sanctifying grace in our lives, we are enabled to do what is humanly impossible. On the level of the mind, as you'll see at length, on the level of the will, we are to live, and I repeat, humanly impossible lives. Thanks to the grace we received from the Holy Spirit when we were baptized. But, as a subject all by itself, it is not the focus of this retreat. The focus of this retreat is what the Holy Spirit, having given us our supernatural life, also gives us so we might cooperate with His grace, using our free wills, enabled by His grace, to reach our heavenly destiny. And I want to repeat, and enable others, help us, Holy Spirit, to help others reach heaven with us. What a statement. All the grace that we have received, and please God will receive until we enter eternity. And grace stops the moment we enter eternity. Grace is the means to reach our heavenly destiny. But now, this grace that, thank God, we all possess has indeed come from God. But watch the next preposition. Has come through other human beings. There is no grace we possess which does not come, I repeat, from God, but through other human beings. And no less than the graces we have received and are receiving from God through others, so we, and I'm going to hammer this in, so we are expected, shall I say, we are commanded to be the channels or conduits of grace to others. Our deepest responsibility on earth is to be channels of grace to everyone whom God puts into our lives. Sheer gratitude for the graces that God has channeled to other people. Not a single person here, not one, would have the gift of faith unless someone who had believed was used by God to bring us this faith. Oh, the hours, the weeks I could spend in developing this crucially important subject. And if our salvation depends on our practice of charity, hear it. The principal practice of charity we are to exercise here on earth is to be a channel of grace to others. For the most important thing that human beings need, barring none, the most important thing we need on earth is God's grace. As others have been and are the channels of grace to others, so we must be. That imperative must is our faith. We must be the channels or conduits of grace to others. Otherwise, we shall not reach our heavenly destiny. Almost a half an hour prelude to my just briefly preparing ourselves to reflect as we shall during this retreat on the virtues, the gifts, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has given us three powers. In Latin, as I've said so many times, the English word power has two very different terms in Latin. It is called potentia, and it is called virtus. Potentia, will, is the power of this amplifier to amplify. The power of this machinery, to record. The power of gasoline to run an automobile. Potentia is the power of a strong wind, like a hurricane, to demolish whole cities. Potentia is power in what is material. But in Latin, the word for power in the spirit is called virtus, from which our English word virtue is obviously derived. What then are the three basic powers, virtues, of our spirit that we receive when we are baptized? They are the three powers to believe, to trust, and to love our God. This meditation is, needless to say, a preparation for the meditations to follow. But I thought we should spend some time in providing some sense of unity among these blessings of the Holy Spirit, which enable us to cooperate with God's will in our lives and thus reach that heavenly home where Christ is waiting for us. What do we receive when we are baptized? We receive the power to believe. To believe in whom? To believe in God. To believe in what? To believe in everything that God has revealed. And this virtue, otherwise known as power, spiritual power belongs to the mind. Again, I repeat, we are non-Protestants. Over the years in teaching Protestant students for the ministry, I told them, and they often use the expression, they smile when I use it, "You poor Protestants, you don't even know that faith is a virtue of the mind. You believe mistakenly that faith is a virtue of the will, trusting God that you are one of those predestined for heaven." No. Faith is a virtue or power of the intellect. To accept on God's word everything which He has revealed. And He has revealed plenty. That's for the intellect. And the intellect is the foundation of everything in our Catholic lives. The next two virtues or powers, and we use the verb infused by the Holy Spirit at baptism, are the virtues of hope and charity. We are to believe in God, but this God has promised us the help we need to reach our destiny. What then is the first object of our hope? It is, we hope and therefore trust in God, we shall receive the grace we need. And even as the sin contrary to faith is unbelief, so the sin contrary to the virtue of hope is distrusting God. We must trust, no matter what our trials in life may be. And I'm speaking from a lifetime experience. Thank God He has sent me, and thanks Lord He is sending me wonderful trials. We must trust that He will provide us with all the strength we need, not just to survive. I keep using those two verbs, but thrive on our trials and difficulties. The virtue of hope also gives us the confident desire of reaching our heavenly destiny. We should never come and never doubt that we will reach heaven. Am I clear? Of course the temptation will be there. And the more deeply we've sinned in the past, the more tempted we will be to question whether I will ever reach heaven. That, I repeat, is a sin, and fully consented to is a mortal sin. Trustful confidence, both in God providing us the means of reaching our destiny, and that we shall reach that heavenly home where, as Christ tells us, He's waiting for us. The Holy Spirit has, I repeat the verb, infused us with the virtue of charity. Oh, that terrible, pardon me, that terrible English language. I did tell you, didn't I? No English dictionary in the world today can define the meaning of a single word. The best our dictionaries can tell us is how words are used. Take the word love, has as many meanings as are people in the world. We can love a puppy and watch little children hugging their baby dolls.